San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, November 23rd. Today's lesson is Peace on Earth with Dr. Constance Cook Kaur. There is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence which flows through all creation. And I call this God, the Living Spirit Almighty, one indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. And so it is. So this morning, we are looking at, it's not really the last Sunday of November. We've been having as our theme for November, we've been using Serenity from the Simple Abundance book by Sarah Bond Breathnach. And even though it's not the last Sunday of the month, it's the last Sunday we're dealing with Serenity. And that's because Advent is starting next Sunday. So we will be having our first Sunday of Advent next week. Hope springs eternal. So what is serenity? What is serenity? Well, it's characterized by a sense of inner peace and tranquility, even amidst challenges in life. In Simple Abundance, Sarah Bond Breathnach says, in real life, serenity depends upon coping and coping well, rising to the occasion. So what do we think that coping is? Well, it's dealing effectively with something difficult. It's when we are able to manage our feelings and our emotional responses to something that is not pretty to begin with. It is something that we feel is a challenge, and yet we realize it has no power over us. We have the power. We get to choose. Now, I promised you this month I was going to quote myself every Sunday. So here you go. Peace is our divine nature. Let us all consciously choose peace and radiate an energy of peace around us. Peace be upon the lands. So peace on earth. When we first hear that peace on earth, it's like the Christmas song, Peace on Earth, Goodwill Toward Men. I think it's the Gloria, which is really great. But that's not what this is. One of the things that we do here at the Center for Spiritual Living is we practice and teach practical spirituality. That means we're practicing the presence of God in our everyday lives. Everything is a prayer. We wake up, it's a prayer. We wash our face, it's a prayer. We brush our teeth, it's a prayer. And some people might say, well, how can you call all of that prayer? Well, it's because of who we are. We are spiritual beings, and we are having this human experience. The words that we have, the thoughts that we have, the actions that we take are so powerful because of this. Because we are tied in, we are one with the universe. Every thought and word that we speak or think immediately activates the law of creation. So as soon as we think something, according to our teaching symbol, it goes in the top and the law starts working on it immediately, and it's gonna come out. It is gonna come out. Just the same as we put it in, That's why we have to be careful what we think about, careful what we speak into words. Giving care, not being careful out of fear, but giving care, consciously caring for what we are speaking and what we are saying, what we are thinking. We know that where we place our attention, whatever we're giving our attention to, grows. It absolutely grows. There's a lot going on in this world right now, and there are an awful lot of people giving an awful lot of attention to things that I would prefer they not. They're giving great attention not to peace in Ukraine, but to the war. Not to peace in Gaza, but to the war. They're giving a lot of attention and talking a lot about South Africa, Nigeria, ICE, politics, all of these things. And it is in so many people stirring up
static,
good word, static. And what we want is a clear message. When we keep our minds and ourselves in a framework of thinking of peace, then that will expand. We can see the truth that peace is in everything, because peace is a quality of God. Serenity is a way of dealing with it to help us become and remain more peaceful. There is a thing that was going around years and years ago, and when I heard about it, I thought, well, okay, they can do it, I'm not, because I don't want to hurt. It was the wrist rubber band. Everybody remember that? You were supposed to wear a rubber band around your wrist, and then if you thought of something bad, you snapped the rubber band, you pulled it out and let go, and it would snap you right here on a very tender part of your wrist. Wonderful. Yes, people did it to quit smoking.
Something torturous like that.
They did it to do all kinds of things. And it's a reason, there's a reason that it works. It is immediate sensory cue that can modify your attention, your emotion, or your habit. So you're snapping it and your body's going, wait, well, hold on.
The amygdala kicks in, hey, we're not running from lions here.
Right. It gives you a distraction. So when you have negative thoughts, you can snap out of it. You can force your mind to eliminate this bad habit. Because as soon as you start to have a negative thought, your mind goes, wait, wait, I don't want to get snapped. Let me think differently. Very useful tool. Very useful tool. One of the things we want to do when we are looking around us at what's going on around us and keep ourselves from getting caught up in all the negativity is change the way we look at things. We can look at things as facts. We can be aware of things. We can observe things rather than getting angry or buying into gossip, being emotionally distressed by what's being said on the news or someplace else, because that kind of stuff is emotional blackmail. When our emotions are all stirred up, our logical brain is disconnected. So if we find ourselves being overly disturbed or overly emotional about these things, we can just step back, do a virtual snap on the wrist, and say, you know what? I don't have to invest all my emotions in this stuff going on around me. We can look at what's going on and remember that our lives are a mirror of what's going on inside of us. So we want to look at what's being created in our own lives by our thoughts and our emotions. So you can ask yourself, How is what's going on a reflection of my inner nature? Is it a reflection of my inner nature? If we don't like what we see, then we have deep work to do, because we have gotten into a habit of projecting our feelings and our opinions and our aggressions, if you have them, in a manner that doesn't set smoothly and settle easily within us. Go within at those times and say, what am I afraid of? What the heck am I afraid of? So many songs come to mind, and another Daniel Namod song has been on my mind all week, and it is, why would I worry? Why would I doubt? Why would I ever think I'd go without? Your infinite love made me. It made everything I see. And all that I'll ever be is your infinite love. And it just, you know, it's, you know how you get those earworms?
Yes.
So it's been in my head all week long, cheering me up as I write these things, reminding me that what I need to talk about, what I need to present for people to consider in practical spirituality, isn't true at all. None of it is the truth. All of it is just some experience and someone's way of wanting to stir up the emotions, to sway people, to sway them into doing something that this large group wants to do. I hope that doesn't sound too vague. When we ask ourselves, what am I afraid of? Then remember that biblical phrase, ask and it is given. In fact, it's a quote here, Matthew 7. Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be open unto you. We are opening doors to possibilities when we say, if this could be. What if that happened? We are opening the possibilities in our life to have just amazing experiences. I want to read something to you that was written by Reverend Vernon Shields. Each moment of every day, you are called upon to make decisions. Some are easy, some are difficult. If some situation seems difficult, withdraw. Withdraw your attention from the situation and the outcome, and give it instead to this thought. Infinite wisdom guides me, and I know what to do. Infinite wisdom guides me, and I know what to do. He says to repeat this slowly with feeling and conviction. Wonderful things happen when you come to a decision or make up your mind. Doors that were seemingly closed begin to open. Situations with seemingly no clear solution begin to dissolve and fade away. When you make up your mind to align yourself with God's wisdom, you will realize each day that God's wisdom is guiding you, and you are aware of what to do in each experience. For the affirmation that he wrote, infinite wisdom guides me and I know what to do. I have quoted Reverend Shields many times, and there's a reason we quote some people over and over and over and don't repeat the same thing. And it's because they shared their wisdom on so many different subjects. Just like Ernest Holmes, the founder of Religious Science and Science of Mind and the author of our Science of Mind textbook, which is our primary tool for teaching. He wrote all that stuff in that one book, which is nice and thick. And he wrote lots and lots of other books, and he gave sermons, and he gave seminars, and he had a radio show, and he had a magazine where he would write. So what's really cool about everything that Ernest Holmes wrote was it all works together. It is not self-contradictory. Because what Ernest was telling us was spiritual truth. And he wasn't telling us what to do or what to think. He was teaching us how to think, how to manifest changes in our lives on a consistent basis. He was teaching all of this how to. And that's sort of kind of why we call it practical spirituality. He talked about this as the teaching symbol that we have, the circle with the V in it and partitioned into the three parts, that this is the mind, this is the soul, the active part, and this is the outcome, the seed, the soil, and the plant. So everything in the universe, for us in particular, in our particular use, everything in our life goes right in the top. And that middle says, I don't care what you put here, I'm going to grow what you put. You put a tomato seed in, it grows a tomato plant that comes out. You put a sense of loss in, and it says, oh, okay, we've got to manifest loss in this life. So then you lose stuff, or things get shortened up. Because what we can remember is that we have the power. In the science of mind, we understand that law is impersonal, doesn't care, does not care. Why can't we apply that understanding to the rule of law that we have here in our nation? Why must every application of law be diluted with emotional distress? When we call things not fair, how can they not be fair when a neutral law is applied across the board? Think about gravity. Does gravity stop working if it's your child that falls from a tree? No. Does a wildfire stop if your house is in the path? No. Laws are neutral. In our nation, we have what we call the rule of law. And we say that justice is blind. Therefore, we say this law here applies to everybody across the board. Not everybody except that one over there. Or everybody except that one over there. Our laws are neutral. So if we choose to lose our serenity, lose our center of peace based on a neutral law being applied where we want compassion instead, then we are doing ourselves a disservice by not remembering that the law is the law. I have said many, many times, ignoring laws doesn't help anybody. If we enforce laws, then we get to see how good or how bad those laws are. And then we are responsible for making changes to the law. If I drive without a driver's license, I'm breaking a law. If I say, oh no, but I've been driving for over 50 years, I know what I'm doing. Fine, then let's make a law that says, Connie Cook Core, who has been driving for over 50 years, does not need to renew her driver's license. We're just going to trust her. But that's the way we need to remember to look at things. There are some national and global efforts to promote peace on earth. One of these is World Peace Day, and another is the Peace Corps. And World Peace Day is based on stopping hostilities among nations. So if you think about it, the World Peace Day has as its core value the fact that there are armed hostilities among the nations. And so this one day, everybody's going to put down their arms and play nice. But the Peace Corps, that is designed to help people and to help understand other people and help other people understand who we are as Americans. So the International Day of Peace is the United Nations. It's called World Peace Day, and it's annually on September 21st. It celebrates the power of global solidarity for building a peaceful and sustainable world. Now, we know that when two or more are gathered in the name of peace, then it is empowered. So having there be a day of peace is more important than the original thought, well, everybody's fighting, we need to just say, call it off for one day. No. Having it strengthens the ideal of peace. One day of global nonviolence. I think that's a good idea. I would give it more than one day. It was established in 1981 to coincide with the UN General Assembly on the third Tuesday of September, but people were losing track of it, so they gave it the same day in 2001. And it all it is always September 21st and always a 24-hour cessation of hostilities for all nations to remind everybody of the importance of peace. And we think, well, does one day really remind everybody? Think about what you've seen in the media or what you've been spoken to about. It's a big deal. People talk a big deal about a day of peace. And so what it does is it brings it up into our awareness. Now, one that falls away from our awareness so fast that it's amazing is the Peace Corps. It's always happening, it's always going on, it's always promoting world peace, but unless somebody says, yeah, I was in the Peace Corps, you go, oh yeah, we have a Peace Corps. It was established in 1961 by President John Fitzgerald Kennedy. And what it does is it trains and deploys volunteers to work on community-level development in countries around the world. Its mission is to promote world peace and friendship through community-based development and intercultural understanding. So you'll hear about the Peace Corps sent a group of volunteers into, let's pick Thailand. And so they go to Thailand and they see all these people who are Thai, how they live, how basic some of their tools are in the countries, in the villages, and they bring knowledge with them. Knowledge for fresh water, knowledge for health, knowledge for hygiene and sanitation to help these people live a better life. At the same time, learning from the Thai about their traditions. Now, this is a really good thing. It's a really good thing. It said, I'm going to quote here, our history, mission, and goals are rooted in a shared vision for what is possible by working with, living alongside, and celebrating the diversity of cultures around the world. Think about, they do this all over the world. What if we did it with the people who live on our block? That we just kind of got to know everybody and said, hey, you've got a small kid and you need to go for an appointment. I can watch your kid. Or somebody has a teenage boy and they say, your lawn needs mowing. Let me send my teenage boy over here to cooperate, not in accordance with a law, but in accordance with our heart to promote peace. Ernest Holmes in The Art of Life wrote, the law of life is a law of goodness, and if you use it in any harmful way, your use of it will hurt you. This is the only limitation the law seems to have, and it is not a limitation at all. Rather, it is complete protection. But if there is no malice in your heart toward anyone, if you are permitting love to emanate from you and goodwill toward all, if you sincerely desire the good of all, please remember to have every right to include yourself. You are the one person living who is intimately acquainted with yourself. You are the one to whom yourself is the most important. This is not self-conceit. It is logical self-justification. I had to share that specifically on Peace on Earth Day, because when we are sitting here, we are looking out at the world, out at the situations. And what we can do is say, not only do I want peace on earth, it starts with me. It begins with me. I need to be peaceful in order to share that peacefulness with others. There is a poem that I would like to share with you. It's called The Peace of Wild Things by Wendell Berry. When despair for the world grows in me and I wake in the night at the least sound, in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting with their light. For a time I rest in the grace of the world, and I am free. When despair for the world grows in me, when I'm taking personally everything that's going on in the world, thinking, oh my God, I have to go out and save the world. I am now the peace presenter, the peace giver, the peace sharer. No. What we need to do is look at it with a different perspective. Wild things don't sit around frozen, paralyzed in fear, thinking about, what if this is my last day? If I'm a little bunny, what if an eagle comes by and grabs me up? If I'm a bird, what if a hunter comes by and I wind up being his turkey dinner? Animals don't do that. Humans do that, and not always to our great benefit. I read an article by Mitch Davidowitz about bearing witness. Have you heard of bearing witness? Okay. He talks in it about how quickly drama is created in our mind. And he brought up something called bear attention to our experience, where we simply notice what's going on around us. And it empowers freedom from entanglement. The example he gave was, he was doing a bunch of stuff, he was making a sandwich, and For some reason, the sandwich flipped and landed on the floor. So what does he get to do? He gets to say, oh, sandwich is on the floor, pick it up and move on. Does he need to go, oh my God, my sandwich is on the floor. Now I have to get more bread. Now I have to get more peanut butter. Now I have to get more jelly or cheese or whatever I'm putting in. No, there's a sandwich on the floor, pick it up, move on. That's going to empower freedom from entanglements. We create so much drama in our lives and we just don't need it. It's not our natural state. And DeVito said, we energize so much in our life that is truly empty. Cultivating peace is not indifference. It's the capacity to be still when the impulse is to react. It isn't that we stop thinking, but that we remember we have a choice. Where we place our attention, where we place our attention is what grows in our lives. So we get to just snap out of all of that silly overreaction. Good intentions are good intentions toward others are what get us through. But if we're having bad actions like fear or drama or anxiety about stuff that really doesn't make the difference of a hill of beans in our personal life, makes a lot of difference to everybody else who's involved in it, but I don't need to have anxiety attacks over what if? What if somebody is in trouble? What if there's an eagle that takes away a bunny? What if? I would like to think that I have better things to do with my time and my love and my energy. And one of them is being right here with all of you, all of you. So, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And thank you for being here. Thank you for your time, for your attention. I love you. Welcome back.